This is Wildfire Awareness Week, and counties are considering instituting burning bans as we speak. Hendry County has already done so, and as last week's massive fire near Southwest Florida International Airport clearly demonstrates, how a small spark can quickly lead to massive destruction when it's as dry as it is right now. Joining me now to talk about fire safety during dry times and during stay-at-home times, with lots of kids around the house more than usual, is Amy Bolin. She's Public Information Officer for the South Trail Fire and Rescue District in Fort Myers. Amy, thanks for your time.
Thank you very much for having us on today.
And Katie Heck is PIO for the Lehigh Acres Fire Control and Rescue District. Katie, thanks for being here as well.
Thank you for having me.
To engage with us and your fellow listeners about this conversation or any of our shows, find us on Facebook. We're at WGCU Public Media, or on Twitter. We're at WGCU. Just use the hashtag GCL. So let's start with some brush fire stuff, because we just had that great big fire out near the airport, and this is a dry time of the year, and they've been doing some burn bans and things like that. So, Amy, let's start with you. Like, how dry is it right now? Is this, like, abnormally dry, or is this what we might expect this time of the year?
Definitely expect it at this time of year, just due to the cyclical weather patterns here in Southwest Florida. We typically don't get a lot of rain in the months of March and April. So right now we are at a very high fire hazard here in Lee County, and we follow that through Florida Forestry Services. So it is important that we always follow their recommendations of whether we are ever allowed to burn or not burn. Right now, they are highly discouraging anybody to do any kind of burning, including yard debris. And we will be waiting for a meeting tomorrow that they will have to see if they will be placing a burn ban into effect.
Katie, how dry is it out there in Lehigh Acres? I know that's a place that historically will see some brush fires.
Yes, we do. And this week is actually Wildfire Awareness Week. So we're just kind of pushing people, since they're home right now, to take some time to really evaluate that space around their house and kind of determine how safe their residence is should a brush fire occur.
You know, I was actually going to suggest that. People are home, and I hear a lot of people talking about their, you know, finally cleaning out their garage or the project they never get to. And some sort of fire-safe landscape thoughts would be a good thing to do right now, I guess.
Yes. So Lehigh Acres is what we call a wildland-urban interface. We have a lot of houses that are right next to either overgrown vacant lots or next to really expensive areas of brush. And so what we want to recommend to people is that they kind of take a look around their house and they take this extra time that they have at home to create what we call a safety zone around their home. And this is going to be at least 30 feet of just cleared area from their home to where the brush line is, which might be a vacant lot next door or a area that they own but just don't take care of. And what that does is it really prevents the fire from spreading right, you know, real close to the home, but also gives our firefighters a place to work around should they be fighting a brush fire in that area.
Amy, do you have any other advice for people as things that people themselves might be able to do at their home or, you know, where they spend time outdoors?
Absolutely. Exactly what Katie is saying is the 30 feet of defensible space is important, but also maintaining their roofs and gutters. So right now, a lot of our leaves have fallen and pine tree needles. So we need to make sure that that's tinder. That is areas where the, as the brush fires start, they release a lot of, you know, the heated particles in the air. We don't want that to land on your roof or your gutter and actually start a fire right there. So to clean out the gutters and clean out the roof, and then understanding what it takes to correctly get horticulture to pick this up. So we want people to not only clean their yards up, but also bundle it correctly so that Waste Pro or whatever management company actually takes it away from your yard also. You brought up a great point too, Mike, of people cleaning out their garages. And if they are cleaning it out of chemicals or paint or anything else that they're not going to be using, to not store that close to their house on the outside or out in the fields next to them, because they are now adding even more fuel that will cause that fire to burn even hotter close to their home.
Right now is when things are dry. About how long will this typically last if this is an average season? I know the rains are going to come at some point, but who knows when? And so how much longer should we be considering this?
At this point, it's hard to put a date on it and predict the future, but I definitely would say we're going to be in this time until June into even the end of June into July. We kind of say brush fire season is year-round in Florida. We have lightning. We have so much of our, you know, our sloughs and brush that can fall down after hurricanes. So it can happen at any point. The higher dangers tend to occur during our spring and early summertime, though.
Katie, how has the response, culturally and societally speaking, to COVID-19 changed what's happening at the fire departments and the calls they are or are not going on and things like that?
Sure. Well, our firefighters are definitely more aware of their kind of practicing social distancing as well and making sure that they stay healthy so they're able to respond to calls for service. So there's different things that our firefighters have been doing, and I think this is across the board, speaking for Lee County, where they're kind of decontaminating themselves before they even enter the stations now after going on calls for service. So in addition to not bringing anything into the stations, they're making sure they're not bringing anything to their next call for service. And that's something that's important with brush fire prevention as well, is a brush fire, requires a lot of people to respond to one call, and that's going to mean that a lot of our firefighters have to interact with each other and be very, very close quarters, even with members of other districts. So the more we can prevent these fires or prevent them from having to go to calls where there's a large response, the more we're keeping them safe so they can keep responding to calls.
Amy, do you know, it seems to me like there would probably be a reduction in the number of car crashes that paramedics and firefighters would have to respond to since there's so many fewer people on the roads. Do you know if that's being reflected in what they're dealing with?
That is being reflected. When we look at our call volume weekly and in the past month, it has decreased. But we have noticed that the types of calls that our firefighters are running tend to be a little bit more important. More on the emergency side. So people aren't calling 911 for things and reasons that they were 2 months ago. They tend to be calling 911 for more severe emergencies. So we are still seeing car crashes, but not at the volume, simply because there isn't the number of cars out on the roads right now. So that is a positive. But we also have to be very aware that we are starting to see 911 emergencies due to home injury, and that is simply because more people are at home than out on the roads or anywhere else. So we know that these are preventable injuries, so we want to make sure that parents especially, that they are taking extra precautions in keeping their family safe at home. And that includes knowing what a home fire drill. Students had to do fire drills at schools every month. That was part of their, requirement. But now that classroom is at home. So we're highly encouraging parents to have home fire drills, that if emergencies like that happen, that those children will know how to escape from their bedrooms or anywhere else in that home so that they can make sure they stay away from that emergency, especially cooking. We're finding that if their parents are essential personnel and they are out working, these kids are at home. They're latchkey children at the time. And children are tired of the grilled cheese and the scrambled eggs and the macaroni and cheese, so they're starting to cook different things. So parents have to make sure that any child in the home, even our teenagers, know how to correctly use appliances. They know that metal can't go in the microwave, and including aluminum foil wrapped around a baked potato is not how we make it in the microwave. But those types of very common sense items aren't so common with our teenagers and our early cookers, so we need to make sure we're very clear in our explanation of cooking safety.
Interesting what an event like this will have a result like that. It's sort of like it's like summertime mentality, kind of. All the kids are home, and there's other things that happen when there's that sort of those many kids at home.
Oh, absolutely. And, to even go back to brush fire safety is a trend that we have seen, before when children would only be home for spring break or, only home during, winter holiday, is that we would tend to see juvenile fires that were caused by juveniles to increase during just that week. But now they're home all the time. So parents have to make the decision to take any kind of heat source, such as matches or lighters, and put them away. No matter the age of the child at home, they are responsible for making sure that matches and lighters are put away out of sight where they can't reach it, so that they know that that child can never take those, tools outside and accidentally cause a fire. We always tell parents that children can't go to the store and buy matches or lighters. The only time they can get a hold of them is if parents forget and leave them out. So it's times like this that we have to be super diligent in putting away, you know, any tool, any chemical, anything that could hurt our children, including our neighboring, you know, areas.
We're pretty much out of time for this segment, but real quick before we go, how does social distancing work, you know, in the firehouses? They're there for 24 hours together. Are they, like, keeping 6 feet apart when they eat dinner and things like that? I'm just trying to imagine what that world is like because they live in a slightly different world than the rest of us.
Right. For us, our firefighters are just doing their best. There's some things that just as first responders, you know, they've made the commitment to answer the calls, and unfortunately driving in either a rescue or driving in a fire truck sort of eliminates some of that ability and working calls and making sure that they provide the services that they're going to provide. But in any way that they are able to make that difference, they are, and that's where it comes into a lot of extra cleaning, a lot of extra monitoring of their own health symptoms. So they're taking their temperature twice a day. And they're really just doing everything they can while still making sure that they're providing the service that they need to provide.
That is all the time we have. I want to thank my guests. Amy Bolin is Public Information Officer for the South Trail Fire and Rescue District in Fort Myers. Amy, thank you.
Thank you very much for having us on. We appreciate it.
And Katie Heck is PIO for the Lehigh Acres Fire Control and Rescue District. Katie, thanks to you as well.
Thank you.
And thanks to our earlier guest during the segment about the open source ventilator project, Dr. Samson Lampetang, professor of anesthesiology at University of Florida. If you missed any of today's show, you can always hear episodes in their entirety on our website, wgcu.org/gcl, or you can subscribe to our podcast feed wherever you get your podcasts. Join us tomorrow when we'll get an update on operations at the Harry Chapin Food Bank, which has suddenly found itself dealing with an unprecedented spike in need. Our show today was produced by yours truly. Our director is Richard Chinqui. Our social media coordinator is Tara Callaghan. For now, thanks for listening. I'm Mike Canary. This is WGCU-FM Fort Myers 90.1, WMKO Marco Island 91.7 FM NPR for Southwest Florida.